Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the MIP, the Male Infertility Podcast. And I'm your host, as always, Nick. Before I crack on, I just want to mention that I've made a Facebook page for the Male Infertility Podcast. And I would love it if you guys could join me on there and give the page a follow. I mean, I can put so much more stuff on a Facebook page than I can do Instagram. It's just adding another string to the bow to make sure I'm spreading the word out there. It'd be really good if you could just give me a like and help spread the word. On today's episode, I am interviewing John, aka the Infertility Man. It was great talking to him. He's in Australia. He's going through his own journey with his wife, Laura. And it was just really good to have a good chat with him, especially as he's round the other side of the world to find out how things are going down under. So, as always, without further ado, here's the interview with John.
Welcome, John. Thank you for joining me on the MIP. It's a pleasure having you here all the way from Melbourne, Australia. My first Australian here. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to be on, Nick. Thank you for having me, mate.
Thank you. Right then. So I'm going to start firing at you. Okay. So tell us a bit about you. Obviously, we know you're from Melbourne. Yeah. But just give us a bit of a background and the situation that you're in.
Yeah, okay. Well, Islander by trade, so born in New Zealand and growing up in Australia. Our infertility journey, I guess mine may have started quite some time ago, but it never really came to fruition until I sort of met my partner now, and then she asked me whether because basically she said, do you want kids? And I said, I'd love kids, but I don't think I can have them. And that sort of all came from me having cancer in 2011. And I think it's quite funny that I sort of heard what I needed to hear from my urologist at the time. I'm pretty sure he was a good doctor too, so I'm pretty sure all he said was, you're going to have to look at other ways to get pregnant. But what I heard at the time with my past relationship as well, because didn't really want kids, or she didn't, and I guess I heard what I needed to hear. I heard, you can't have kids. So that made it easy for me to sort of move on, and it wasn't a question. So to be sort of thrust into the light with my lady Laura, and she sort of said, well, is that true? When I said I couldn't have kids, and I tell you, you could have blown me over with a feather. It was just, it really knocked me on my backside. I just never asked myself the question. I basically thinking about what the doctor said, and then I went, well, I actually don't know for certain, because I never looked into it. I basically thought, well, that's what he said. I can't have them. I'll move on, and I work with kids, so I'll just take everyone else's kids and give them back after. It's been interesting. So yeah.
So you'd kind of come to terms with the fact that you probably couldn't have kids then, and
yeah.
And you kind of thought, yeah, I don't need to kind of worry about it. It's already been settled.
I guess. That's right. I thought I'd pretty much made peace with it, and obviously she stirred me up here. Laura did, and I started looking into things. So once I actually started looking into, and not necessarily my infertility, what I started to see was there's loads of other options out there for us guys. And I guess I started off on that journey very early in our relationship. I guess you know when you're a little older, you go, oh well, we can get rid of all the other stuff, and we just go, yeah, you know, she's got me. and off I went down this road, and we're sort of 3 years in now, but I guess you can liken it to being in the trenches. We've been working through every piece bit by bit.
Yeah. When I'm guessing that since you two had that chat and you were nearly blown over, have you been back to the doctors to see if there's any way of
All right, I can go down. So from that point when we had that chat, I actually looked into, and that's why we've started that, where we sort of came across that infertility man side of things on Instagram and Facebook. It's a bit like yourself. We want to, I guess, help inform our male colleagues that there are ways and means, and if we can create a safe space as well for the chat and just to help people move forward and make progress, then that's what it is for us anyway. But I guess from that point, I went and found a doctor. I didn't have a GP, so I had to go and find a GP, and then I had to ask that GP, which I didn't know. I didn't really like her in the end, really. But anyway, I got a script for a sperm sample, and off I go, and I go and do that, and it came back zero. And on that road, I'd sort of found that I went, oh, there's actually a couple of other ways. So I looked for another specialist, which was sort of typical guy. He looks like a good fella. And
first one on Google,
close to home. It was literally like that. And then when I went to call, I found out he'd left the place or something. And then I had to pick the next guy on the website. So it was through him and my specimen sample, and then we found out that you can do what they call a fine needle aspiration. And that was where they put the needle in. And I've only got one left because of my cancer, one testicle. So they basically put the needle in and draw back, endeavouring to get whatever fluid, and then it goes into the lab and then they see whether there's any sperm. So we, Laura and I, moved forward with the sheer fact that there was one sperm found, and it didn't swim. It was immotile, but they found one, and I was just like, you beauty, like where there's one there's got to be more. And I tell you what though, we've questioned ourselves many a time. Like look, we've done a heap of egg retrievals, and since the fine needle aspiration, we've changed doctors because basically the doctor pissed me off. He annoyed me anyway. And we just ended up a couple of good doctors. Now we've got the best doctors. And from the fine needle, instead of biopsies now, the doctor that I got, he said, look, we'll miss the biopsy. We'll reduce the amount of scar tissue that'll be left. And we can go to what they call a micro-TESI, which is the microscope extraction. Yeah. And, I guess that's where we're waiting on at the moment, because obviously with this COVID-19, that's really all those surgeries have been cancelled now. It's an interesting time. But saying that, and my doctor, man, he is so cocky. It's amazing. Like, it's actually quite cool. It's quite cool. He's like, don't you let anyone touch that testicle. And I'm like, okay, don't you worry about that. But, I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to finding out whether I have sperm or not. And we're basically at that space now. We've been banking eggs with view to finding some sperm in me, and then put it together. But pending that, we can obviously look at the donor route, and there's obviously family, my family, extended family that would be. I've got sort of cousins that are basically brothers and that sort of thing. And so it's still up in the air at the moment. We're still sort of moving forward. I do have to say our relationship is so much stronger for the journey. Yeah. We've been very good to each other, and I guess it's the relationship side of things that's part of our impetus to help as well. Because it's a tough old journey. You can't plan for anything. You can't plan for it. You try and plan for it, but all you can do is just hope that you're prepared and you're able to take an opportunity when it comes and
roll with the punches.
Oh, mate. Mate, I tell you, just, it's consistent too. It just doesn't change. You go, oh, are you for real? All right. We didn't see that one coming, but we'll go with that.
Yeah. It's like, you're completely fine, but you can't produce sperm.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm not completely fine then, am I? Come on.
and then it's just, it's one of those things that like you just sit there and you go, where the hell are these guys been? Like you find that one sperm and you go, all right, well, where are you guys? What, are you going to the pub on the way out or are you going to the gym? Are you sitting there watching rugger matches?
Just been tucked in there somewhere, just like just chilling in there.
Yeah, that's right.
So obviously you and Laura are very, very happy and obviously like you see your relationships like fantastic. I mean, it sounds like it's good. You're both doing the I've noticed you've got a YouTube channel as well where you've done little videos on there as well. I think that's really, really cool. And I like the fact that you on your banner you're both wearing super people outfits. I like that.
I think if you have a look at the woman's journey through infertility, like potentially for me, I might need to do one, maybe two procedures. Man, some of these ladies with their retrievals, it's like, especially even if they're a poor responder, it's like 10, 11 surgeries, hundreds and hundreds of injections, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, and so I remember when my wife was in there and she was like, you see some of the instruments that they've got and you're like, that has got to go in there. You're like, I thought I had it bad.
It's a tough old road, but I think one of the most important things is looking after each other, putting each other first, because I think you haven't gone through it too or down this journey, like people can say some pretty stupid stuff. And whilst sometimes most of the time it's not intentional, it still takes a lot to get through and a lot of understanding and a lot of, I guess, presence.
I mean, sometimes people talk without thinking, they just don't understand. They haven't got a Scooby-Doo, you know what I mean? They're literally just spouting off about stuff that they've got no idea. You got no idea, boy. You know what I mean? Like,
it does come back to intention, though. Their intention is always good, and if you can, the majority of the time it's always good, but I think a lot of people don't realize that when you are talking about your journey and stuff like that, advice is probably the last thing you are asking for, because when you are in this journey on this roller coaster, you have pretty much exhausted every possible corner of information, every possibility, every angle. Unless you've been through it, it's like, wow.
it is one of those, definitely. Yeah. I mean, one of my things that I do to help me get through it and stuff is just through humor as well. Like, I'll say really random things to like my work colleagues and stuff, and they'll just be like, Jesus, did you just say that sort of thing? Like, it's all right. I can say it. I've been through it. It makes them feel a bit more comfortable and relaxed as well. You know what I mean? And to be fair, I've had a few conversations with people at work because I've made a jovial humorous comment and something, then it's relaxed them, and then they're like, actually, I've wondered if I could ask you a few questions about it, sort of thing.
Go for it.
You mean you may not be going through it, but just to educate you in stuff, and then you might be able to go to somebody else and be like, oh yeah, I knew a guy and it was like this and so on. And just you know what I mean? It sparks that conversation. So
yeah,
I think that's
I think it's important to know too that there's no stupid questions. Mm-hmm. I've been really, really open to some of the chats, and I'm a paramedic over here, and you get to work with obviously different age groups, and mm-hmm. and some of the youngsters are quite intrigued if they find out you're doing IVF. They go, oh, well, wow. And then you end up speaking about it most of your shift. And a lot of them are quite intrigued. Like, they're like, wow, well, we don't know. So I think for me, like, I thought, why aren't, like, I never had a scare. I never accidentally got anyone pregnant. And now I know why. But if you go back through, and as a baby, I remember Mum mentioning, and this is where you sort of start piecing things together. As a baby, I had a surgery when I was 18 months old, and that was to release an undescended testicle, which was actually the one that ended up being cancer. So it's quite interesting that there's a quite high percentage related to that instance as a baby, like the undescended. If you don't get onto it early enough, obviously it gets a little strangled and probably not much oxygen, which affects the cells and blah, 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 blah. So, and potentially that's, you can see by the size of me, like, I've had no problems with growth hormone. That's no bother at all. But
he's a giant.
But my testosterone has always been low, or on the lower side. So quite interesting. As a kid, I was quite a fat kid, which well, not even fat, just big. I was just big. But if you have a look, my testosterone was low, which meant my estrogen was sort of on the higher side. And I sort of dealt with things like gynecomastia, which is the breast tissue around the chest area. And so these are all things that now I look back, potentially that higher estrogen level was related to the fact that I could put on weight soon as look at it. I had this tissue around the chest region. My testosterone was low, and then I have cancer in 2011. So you just sort of see all these factors, and it's like this formula just starts putting together. You go, wow, all right. Yeah.
So following all the breadcrumbs that, and everything's kind of
makes sense. Yes, the breadcrumbs. That's a perfect analogy. Yeah. So it sort of makes a lot of sense now. And I've sort of made some massive changes around my diet and my training, all that sort of thing. So there's been some massive change, especially since the cancer in 2011.
Yeah. I bet that was how did that affect you when you first found out about that? Because I can imagine it probably rocked you massively.
It was, I guess I was pretty fortunate in that it happened really quickly. Although saying that, I was away with an old partner, and we were away, and I felt like I'd been kicked in the groin, and I just couldn't shake it. Like, I was doing heaps of weight and stuff like that, but because we were in Fiji, I never thought about it, and I wasn't doing the weights, so I thought, I might as well just mention it. And I said, hey, it's really good. She just went, oh, just go and see the doctor. And I didn't go and see the doctor when I got back. I put it off and then basically it was January, and I turned up, saw the doctor, went and had an ultrasound, and basically straight away the sonographer's just gone, hey, do you want to see this, or do you want to see it now, or do you want to wait for the doc? And I went, mate, show me now, because I actually knew him. I'd picked patients up there from there before. And anyway, he turns the screen around, and It was just all, I can't remember whether it was red or blue. I think it was red, which meant the tissue was, anyway. But he said, you need to go back and see the doctor ASAP. And pretty much that was the Tuesday. The Wednesday, I went back and saw the doc. Thursday, I had bloods and scans. I think that was right. And then Friday, the urologist. I was on the table on Monday and had the surgery. Yeah, it happened. It happened. So I guess for me, I didn't have a chance to think about anything.
I mean, that's fast, real fast. Did you? I don't know what the healthcare system is in Australia. Is it similar to us in England, like NHS, or is it more of an American style insurance thing?
No, well, I do over here in Australia. It's similar to the NHS, though. I've got private health insurance. Though if it hadn't have been done through that, it would have been sorted out through the public system. But yeah, that was so I paid for all that basically, and it was done and dusted. And as you see, very quickly, it was the funny thing was, I remember talking to the urologist, and all I was worried about was getting back to the gym, mate. And I'm like, and I thought he'd said, geez, I tell you what, I really mucked up what he actually said to me a lot of the time. But I thought he'd said that it was only going to be 2 days before I could get back into the gym. I can tell you it was more than 2 days before I could even move.
Well, I've had the micro-T's operation. I had 2 weeks off after the operation because I was when we came out of there, I was still obviously must have been feeling the effects of the morphine, and I was there. Obviously, it was hurting, but somehow we made it back to Euston Station. We walked as well, so I was like, somehow made it all the way. But then after that, I was feeling it swollen, bruised.
Yeah.
Walking like John Wayne. And the other thing is, I must have been allergic to iodine because literally I came up with a rash all around.
Really?
I had to wear a jock strap. Is it a jock strap? I mean, I've never worn one of those before in my life. That was hilarious. Yeah. Definitely, I would definitely advise not going back into the gym after 2 days. Not after that, anyway. But yeah,
no.
Even when I got back to work, the guys at work were laughing at me because I was there just like walking, doing my job way, and it's like, come on, lads, chill out.
It's quite funny, like when you actually explain to some people what you've actually got to get done, the automatic reaction from the guys is their knees just come together and their hands go to their crotch region and they just go, okay, and you see the little beads of sweat rolling down their forehead.
And they're like, I'm so glad it's you and not me. But, okay. right, so obviously going through all of this, I imagine when you first found out originally that you couldn't have kids and so on, or you were led to believe, obviously I imagine you would have told your parents and so on, or your mom.
Yeah.
But then obviously coming into it with Laura, how has like your mum and your family side been, and how has her side been?
Well, it's quite funny. Like you have a look at, so there's me, my sister, and I've got a big Fijian contingent. I've got a big family. So cousins and all them, they're like brothers and sisters. We were brought up like that. Mm-hmm. And Laura's side of the family, she's one of 10. And we actually just had her youngest sister's 21st. So that was the last 21st they've had. Well, I guess from our point of view, we've sort of realised that people don't understand. They think it's the same. They think everyone's journey is the same, and it just isn't. Whilst I think our families have got, we've had to have some conversations how they should, what they're saying. That one of them said was, "Oh, do you want? All right. We want to just get some context around this and where we're at and what we have to go through and the support we need, and it's not advice we need. We just so it's been a lot of drive by feel, but at the moment our family is better than when we started." They're excited for us, though they don't understand when we do an egg retrieval and we get a couple of eggs, and then obviously we lose some going to the freezer, and because they're either immature or they're abnormal, and like let's say you start with 6 or 10, and then 2 go to the freezer, and they go, "Oh yeah, well, what does that actually mean?" And then you've sort of got to explain sort of how that works, and it's taken us a while to get the recipe as well that works for Laura, but we're quietly hopeful, mate. It's and the family they're rooting for us. They're really endeavouring to do the best they can with what they've got, and I guess we're endeavouring to empower them as much as possible as well, make it easier for them because they want to help. It's everyone comes back, everyone wants to do good, and everyone wants to do their best for you. So
I mean, obviously they're going to be just as excited as you guys when well, maybe not as excited, but they're going to still be excited when the time comes when everything works out, you know what I mean? So it's good that you're trying to educate them. I like that. It's good. That is good. Yeah. So you,
I think it's important. It's important that if you can make it easy for them and actually let them know point blank how they can support you. Oh, we would love dinner after an egg retrieval. That would be great. Could you pick me up? Don't just leave it to assumption or putting it out there and then getting annoyed with them for not doing something that you haven't told them that would have helped. So communication is integral.
Definitely. So obviously you're at the stage where you are hopefully going to have the micro-Ts. Have you had conversations about if things go to plan or if things don't go to plan? Are you open to maybe exploring? Well, you said that you've got a big family, you might be able to go down that route. Is that, I'm guessing you've had those conversations?
Yeah. Well, Nick, it's my surgery was due for, now here's the kicker. So my surgery was actually booked for March 17, and we changed that because we literally got an egg retrieval with one egg and we had like 16 eggs or something, and that's from a heap of retrievals. And so we thought, like, let's push it out and let's get a couple more in. And as it so happened, we ended up getting more eggs. So that put us into a good spot. But then guess what happens? Good old COVID-19.
Yeah, or Corona.
So Corona. So now our surgeries, like today was the last day of those electives. So my surgery is in the wilderness at the moment. So basically what that means for us is we've got eggs. We still don't know whether I have sperm. We have talked about Obviously, there's adoption, there's donor sperm, there's I even had a conversation with one of my family and just asking the question, and it's definitely something I'm open, we're open to. I think Laura was worried she wasn't going to get pregnant. I said, don't worry about that. You're going to get pregnant one way or another. If it's going to be mine or if it's going to be one of the families, that's what we just got to wait and see. Though, look, I'm still going to be a dad and you're still going to be a mum, and that's the outcome at the end of the day, isn't it? Like, they're going to be with you the rest of your life. So they're still going to be your kid.
Exactly. You're going to be the one that raises it, you know what I mean?
That's right.
So, yeah. It doesn't matter, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter where you get it from, you know what I mean? So, sod it.
Yeah, you're right. And we're very lucky to have so many opportunities now, like the technology these days and the doctors and just what we're able to do. It's just, it's mind-blowing what's available. So I just think 3 years ago, I'd stuck my head in the sand, and we're 3 years on, and I've still got, and now I've got this possibility that I could have my own biological children. Though I'm just absolutely so excited about just having children. And that's just means the world to me right now.
I can imagine, especially having that news all those years ago, and then going through the tests again. It's to be like, that, and then still having this the chance of having a kid is like, even if it doesn't go the way you want to go with the micro T's or whatever, but you've still got all the other options. At the end of the day, like you say, she's still going to be pregnant because you're going to go down every avenue possible, and you're going to be a daddy at the end of the day. I mean, it just makes you feel buzzing. You know what I mean? Just the thought of it.
It does. It's just the thought of it. And I guess as a paramedic too, like you go to a lot of kids and you go to a lot of, and I do a bit of work with youth, and my other half, she sort of works with the 5 to 12 year old. She's got a children's entertainment company. So it's just, I just can't get enough of them, like being with the kids and even the babies. Laura's, and even a lot of my cousins now, they're having little bubbas, and you just can't get enough. I never realized how clucky I could get. And you can see everyone trying to grab them. They're like, hey, hang on, this is my turn. I want a bit of a hold as well, eh?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I probably would have been like, before, years before, I'd be like, nah, I'm all right, thanks, keep that kid away from that. It's like, I need the practice.
That's right.
But, yeah.
Exactly right.
So, I just want to touch again on your social media and so on.
Yeah.
Obviously, you and Laura together, I noticed is you guys together are obviously doing something similar to me, and that's fantastic. Do you want to just like talk about it a little bit?
Yeah. So I got to tell you that Laura is the brains behind the outfit. Like, she's doing all the creativity side of things, like actually putting together the videos and the editing and all that sort of stuff. I guess I'm just providing the material. No. we've got a YouTube, as you said before, John and Laura. That's John without an H. And the Facebook, we've sort of attached Infertility Man. So I've gone, yeah, that's pretty cool. Like, we've tried to create a superhero type feel, like, to get through this journey. We've all got to do our part, but we've got to look for our gifts as well through this process. And I guess from our point of view, we just want to create a safe, supportive space For both guys and women, but what we found was really, if we could give the guys a bit more of a platform, and it's more so from our point of view, it's the relationship side of things. So it's how to support your other half through this journey. So there's obviously male and female factors sometimes with infertility. For us, it's me, and I think for you, it's male as well. It's, mm-hmm. it's not just both, but I guess we just want to provide a space, and I guess we're having a bit of fun with it as well. Like, it's been quite cool to go back through just creating some content and bringing everyone up to pace where we're at, and we've been able to connect. Like, we connected through the Insta, I think. So here I am in Oz and you're all the way over in England, and we're just having a natter so about male infertility, and I think it needs to happen more. And you're not broken. It's there's loads of options still available.
Definitely. Mm. So, do you want to just run down the places where we can find you, just in case anyone's just needs it?
So Instagram, it's Infertility Man. So I guess it's at Infertility Man. Facebook, we've got Infertility Man on the Facebook as well. And I think she's set up Twitter as well. So that'll be Infertility Man at Twitter. And if you have a look at the YouTube, again, John and Laura, J-O-N, with the and symbol and Laura. And you'll find the videos and stuff on there. And, come join us. And we're always up for a chat. And we've devoured so much information. And if we can help and point you in the right direction, then that's what it's all about, looking after each other.
It is, especially through these difficult times.
Yeah.
So if you want to find John, he's just told you where you can find him. And I just want to say thank you to John for joining me on the MIP. It's been an absolute pleasure connecting across the globe. So thank you, John. Thank you so much. I know there's a slight time difference from here to there. But we still managed to make it work. So
I think there's a episode of West Wing, and then I'm going to put myself to bed, mate.
Whereas I've not long been up. So
yeah, I know you're just up.
So cheers, mate, and thank you.
Yeah, mate. Thank you very much.
So once again, I just want to say thanks to John. It was really good talking to him. Thanks a lot, mate. Okay, so that's going to wrap things up for this episode. As always, find me on Instagram for posts about male infertility and infertility in general. If you've got any questions, then please get in contact with me. I'll be more than happy to speak with you and answer any questions that I can. And just a reminder, I've now got my Facebook page made up as well. And the good thing about Facebook is you can put more detail down on Facebook than you can do on Instagram. So I'll be able to have links that you can easily get to on Facebook and put in like websites and so on. So please do give me a follow. It's the Male Infertility Podcast, as always. And that's going to wrap things up for this episode. So thanks a lot, guys. This is the MIP signing off. See ya.